I want to start by asking you a riddle. How many like riddles? Okay. So here's a riddle for you. Okay, are you guys listening? So what do these people have in common? What do these people have in common? Okay, that's what you have to figure out. Two blind men. Two blind men. A father who has lost his daughter from an illness. She died. And a woman who has been sick for a long, long time. And she's been to a lot of doctors, but she's not getting any better. She's getting worse. That's all the information I'm giving you. What do those four people have in common? Oh, okay. Let me ask it to you this way. If you weren't so familiar with the Bible, if I went over to Home Depot and I was asking somebody who isn't so familiar with the Bible, if you weren't in church, and I asked you the same riddle, think about it for a minute. Two blind men, someone who had lost their daughter, and a woman who was sick for a long time. And even though she tried to get better, as she went to doctors, she didn't get any better. Now, for a minute, take off your, you know what I mean? What are some of the things that you might guess, not knowing what you know, what they might have in common? Let's try that. Fernando, what? What, John? Yeah, good, good. Over here, what? Hopelessness. Yeah, what? Broken heart. Yeah, you're right. What are some other things? Maybe despair. Maybe depression. Maybe even suicidal thoughts. Hopelessness. Now, you don't answer that way because you're like, oh, I know what to do. I know. Okay. But can we get real this morning? Because if we're getting real, we're recognizing, wow, those people, if we would just ask, if you weren't in this setting and you didn't know what you knew and I gave you that same riddle, you'd probably come up with those, well, let's see. And you'd be thinking, what do they have in common? Well, they're probably depressed. They're probably discouraged. They're probably despondent. They're probably, depressed. They're probably, maybe even suicidal. They're probably bummed out. They're probably just, hopeless. But what do these people have in common? Can I tell you what all these people had in common? They were expectant. Every single one of them, in the face of what others would call hopeless. I mean, can you imagine losing your daughter? Can you imagine being blind? Can you imagine being sick for 12 years and going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and each doctor says, you know what, just take this, just try that, and it'll cost you this much, and you're paying, and every single one, you're doing what they're saying, and you're not getting any better, but you keep on getting worse and worse, and your money's running out. Can you imagine? And yet, we know that what these people have in common, you answered it right away, what they really have in common is that they are all expecting. They're all hopeful. I want to talk to you today about the power of expectation. The power of expectation. It is one of the most powerful forces that you can have. And what I want you to do is I want you to recognize how important it is that we would be expecting that our lives would be changing. First point, expectation has the power to change things. Expectation, write this down, expectation has the power to change things. Now, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 9. Of course, I'm reading on the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but we have it here on the screen so you can follow with us word for word. But turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I want us to look at these examples, starting with the example of the woman, starting with verse 20. Matthew chapter, did I say 10? I meant 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, everybody say 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Do you see the expectation? She's saying, from the heart the mouth speaks. This woman has been messed up for 12 years. You know what? In Luke, it says that she went to all these different doctors and she didn't get better, but she got worse. But here's what she says, from the heart the mouth speaks. She says, all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment. Watch this. And I shall be made well. Not I might be made well, not maybe, not if it's God's will, not any of that. She just says, all I have to do is touch the hem of his garments and I shall be made well. Incredible. Listen, after all people have disappointed her, doctor has disappointed her time after time after time, here's what she says. She says, all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'm going to be made well. The power of expectation. Now watch what happens. But Jesus turned around and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. What's that? Power of expectation. She expected that she touches the hem of his garment. And watch, look what it says. And the woman was made well that hour. Is that incredible? See, let me tell you what. There is great power in expectation. And what happens in the course of time is we allow, in the course of time, we become cynical. It's easy to become depressed. It's easy to become just lethargic. It's easy to just think, wow, whatever my situation is, it's always going to stay the same. No. Listen, let me tell you what. There's power in expectation. Yeah, but it's been 12 years. Yeah, but it's been 8 years. Yeah, but it's been 20 years. Listen, it had been 12 years for this lady, and here's what she says. You know what? We need to understand, why is this lady put in the Bible? Here's why. Because God wants us to look at her and act like her. And in the midst of a situation that would seem like it's not turning around, it can turn around today. Amen. Amen. Turn to chapter 9, same chapter, but look at verse 18. When he had spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died. Let me tell you what, how much more hopeless are you going to get than death? I mean, it's just like, my daughter has just died. The power expectation. But listen to this guy. Listen to what he says. So powerful. Listen to what he says. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Or say the power of expectation. You know what? And where so many people, you know what, would say, no, it's too late. She already died. Just give up. Just be hopeless. God says, this guy says, nope, all I need you to do is come on over and lay your hands on her. And she, you see it again? And she, just like the woman with the issue of blood, what did he say? She might live. She, oh, I hope it happens. It's possible. Well, you know what? 50-50. No, what does he say? She will live. Now, look what happens. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So interesting. Jesus says, you know what? Can I tell you what? Jesus loves responding to people who are have expectation. He just was, this is like, no. Jesus, just upon his proclamation that my daughter is going to live, all you need to do is lay your hands on her. Jesus, look what it says. And Jesus rose and what? And followed him. Man, can I tell you what? Jesus loves people who have high expectations. He just loves it. You know what? Your faith moves God. And we're like, ooh, that's true. It's radical to say. Look, don't argue with theology that's in the Bible. Amen? The Bible says Jesus followed him. Does it say that? Our faith moves God. And why? Because let me tell you what. Expectation is a powerful force. And Jesus follows him and his disciples. Oh, you know, there's a... Oh, I guess we're going to his house. Yeah, I guess you are. Amen. And you're about to see a miracle. Watch this. And suddenly, so Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now go down to verse 23. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. What are they wailing about? They're crying, they're mourning, they're making this little girl died, and they're making this big thing. They're crying, they're wailing, they're mourning her death. So Jesus said to him, Make room for the girl is not dead but sleeping. Now notice this, and they ridiculed him. Can I tell you what? Let me tell you what God does. God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's what he does. He calls the things that are not as though they were. So even though she's not alive, he calls it like she was. Oh, no, she's just sleeping. Let me tell you what. Today's, in today's Christianity, they still mock people who do this. And they put all kinds of labels on it. Oh, you know what? You're just one of those confession people. You're one of those, well, however they, but let me tell you what, when you do what Jesus did, you're in good company. Amen? Amen? And recognize they can ridicule you. They can make fun of you. They can, but Jesus didn't make any difference. They ridiculed him. Jesus said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you too. And when you start to speak things that are not as though they were, you know what? And here's the odd thing. Christian people will look at you like you're off. Can I tell you what? You're never off when you follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm saying you're never off. And it doesn't make any difference if they don't like it. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, you are to lead them. Amen. Don't allow them. And it's one of the reasons why it's so important for you to read your Bible. Because many Christians or many people go to church, they don't read their Bible. And so when there's bad theology, they don't know it's bad theology. You know what I mean? And oftentimes they hear this bad theology on the radio or from a pastor somewhere, and they are mocking, saying how ridiculous this is. Let me tell you what, Jesus Christ says she's not dead and she's asleep. But we know she's dead. Put that in your purse and swing it, amen? And listen, and we need to be careful that we're not the church that starts mocking, you know what, spiritual things and call them unspiritual. No, that's what we're to do. We're to be God's people. God's people are to call the things that are not as though they are. They were. You know what? Yeah, are your kids, you know what, far from Christ? Well, call the things that are not as though they were. You know what I mean? Proclaim, speak over them. Proclaim that they are following Christ, that they love Jesus with all their heart. And did you notice this part? So interesting. Turn back to the 18 verse. Look where this says. And he spoke these things to them. Behold, a ruler came and worshiping him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she'll live. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Matthew is observing this happening. This ruler is speaking to Jesus and he says, my daughter is dead, but come over and lay hands on her and she's going to recover. She was going to come from the dead. But notice what Matthew calls it. Did you see what he calls it? He doesn't say, he said. He says, look at it again. And the ruler came worshiping him, saying. He doesn't say, he said it. He said, he worships him, saying. What's that all about? Do you think the ruler is singing to God? You know what? My daughter is died. Come. That's not happening. See, let me tell you what. Worship isn't just singing. Worship is saying, God, with you all things are possible. That's worship. And that's why Matthew calls it what it is. When you and I have the faith to say, with God, all things are possible. Jesus, all you have to do is come over, lay hands on her, and she will recover. She will live. I'm telling you what, Matthew goes, that guy would worship Jesus. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. One of the most holy times, one of the most worshipful times in our whole service is when we come and we come together and you faithfully are bringing the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. It, you know what it is? It's worship. How's that worship? Well, let me ask you this. You know what? How are you doing? How are you doing in your finances living with 100%? You are spending 100% of what you make on yourself. And you know what? And you're barely giving along, even spending 100%. You're barely paying your bills. You're barely paying your rent. You just feel like, it's just so tight. Okay. And here's what you do. And you take 10% and you say, this isn't mine. I'm giving it to God, it's his. What are you doing? You're expecting that God is going to come in and supply. What's that? That's worship. I'm telling you what, it is one of the most worshipful things that you do whenever anyone is dependent upon God, like this guy is. God says, that's worship. And so Jesus comes, and he says, he says, make room. The girl is not dead, she's sleeping. And they mock him, and they ridicule him. You know what? Hey, listen, don't sweat it when they mock you and they ridicule you. And listen, and be real careful if the only thing you are speaking is what you see with your physical eyes. The Bible says, lean not into your own understanding. The Bible says that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. But it's so easy. Listen, it's so easy for us to get into the, because we live there. You know what I mean? We live there. We live in a physical world, and it's so easy for us as human beings to get on this thought of, that's just how I roll. God doesn't want us that way. God wants us living in a physical world, but God wants us to be spiritually minded, that we are sensitive to the spiritual realm. And that's what God is. And that's what he says. No, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Now look what happens. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Watch this. Who predicted this? What? Who? Her father. Exactly. See, the power of expectation. See, imagine if you would just stop being cynical and start to expect that your marriage would change. If you'd stop being cynical, if you'd stop listening to the negative reports and start listening to the godly report that says, by his stripes you're healed. Stop listening to what the doctor says and start listening to what Dr. Jesus says. See, the power of expectation. If you'd stop thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I'm never going to, you know, and I hear so many people talk to me. So many people say, oh, you know, Pastor, I can't come on Wednesday because I can't get off work. You know what I mean? Or people who come Wednesday, I can't come on Sunday because I can't get off work. Hey, the power of expectation. See, there's an it just happens in life. We begin to become so used to how it is that we don't understand. There's power in the expectation that you'd start to say, no, listen. I'm going to expect that my boss is going to start to rearrange things, that I'm going to have such favor in my workplace that I'm going to start to ask. I'm going to get to the place where I'm going to ask my boss. I'm going to say, hey, listen, I need Sunday off. I need Sunday and Wednesday off. And you know what? And my boss is going to say yes because I'm such a good employee and the favor of God is on me. See, can we start to step out and start to understand, hey, listen, these people are walking. And Jesus says to the woman with the issue of blood, he says, let me tell you what. He says, you know what? It's your faith that's made you whole. This guy, his daughter is dead. I wonder if he left, and we don't know because it doesn't say it. I wonder if he left, you know what, if his wife said, where are you going? His friend said, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to get Jesus. I wonder how many people could have laughed at him. See, well, it's my last point. I'll get to in a minute. But do you see the power of expectation? Look at it again. You know what? Listen, this is all just in one chapter. People's lives who are turning their lives around, and people who would say, you know what? And they'd say, you know what? It's hopeless. You know what? I've been sick 12 years. No one can get me better. She's dead. But the very thing that he proclaimed, you know what? Jesus, all you have to do is lay your hands on her, and she is going to live. And the very thing happened. Jesus goes, he takes her by the hand. She touched the hem of his garment. And that very hour, the Bible says that's what she said. See the power and expectation? Guys, understand. We think, oh, you know what? Listen, understand. And I don't have time to teach this all in its entirety, but you can see it. Understand God's will is that people be whole. And part of that wholeness is in their body. And we have started to believe, you know what? Well, this can't, we can, and it can, and all. And here's why, because all these circumstances. I'm telling you what, you get no more hopeless than dead. And yet the very thing, there's power in expectation. He says, you know what, Jesus? All that has to happen is just come on over my house. And Jesus goes, yeah. See, let me tell you about God. God loves faith. God loves it when you say, God, I trust in you. It's extremely powerful. Third example, look at this. Look just down at verse 27. And Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him. Ever say blind?
Blind.
How many now? How many know, even now with our technology, how many know, you know what, there's no cure to blindness? Hello? And I know there's a lot of advancements, a lot of things, but there's really no cure to someone who's blind. And how many know there was certainly no cure back then? We even now don't have a cure for blindness. Look, so he arrives, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Oh, I wonder what they want. Well, I'm going to show you what they want. Look at this. And when he came into the house, the blind men, ever say to the blind men?
Blind.
Are these guys blind?
Yes.
Blind. Came to him, and Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" The power of expectation. And here's why I want to point this out to you. What do you think they could have said? "Well, I hope you can. Well, if it's your will, God." You know what I mean? All kinds of stuff, religious stuff that comes out of their mouth. But listen, from the heart the mouth speaks. There's great power of expectation. Look what he says. They said to him, what did they say? I mean, just straight up. Yes! Power of expectation. And then, watch how powerful it was, because look what Jesus says then. Then he touched their eyes, saying, now, get a hold of this, because these words are there on purpose. Look what he says. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." See why I'm preaching this? We have got to raise up our expectation level. You want God to move mightily in your life? Start expecting the unexpected. Start expecting for supernatural things. Stop being content with where your life is. You know what? Whatever, relationally, physically, financially, emotionally. Yeah, but it's been that way for this long. It's never going to change. I'm telling you what, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Amen. I'm telling you what, God wants to do supernatural things in your life. And so he baits these guys, and he's baiting us by giving us this example. He's baiting us. He's saying, you know what? What do you want? Do you believe I can do it? Yes. On purpose. Jesus could have said whatever he wants. How many know Jesus knew that this was going to be written down? And Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. According to our faith, let it be unto us. That's why I'm teaching the power of expectation. Because we need to start expecting that our life will change. Three powerful examples. You know what? This woman, been jacked up for 12 years. She says, all I'm going to do is touch him. This gentleman whose daughter has died, she says, Jesus, you just come over to my house. All you have to do is touch him. And these guys, you know what, who Jesus baits him, says, hey, are you willing? Do you believe I can do it? Absolutely we do. Then he says, I believe, you know what, for our benefit, according to your faith, let it be unto you. And look what happens. Look at where their faith level was. And their eyes were opened. How many know this was a good day? How many know this was the day that these two guys were happy that they trusted in Jesus Christ? Amen. Can I tell you what? Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe your miracle is just a hope away. Maybe your miracle is just an expectation away. Maybe God is saying, no. Wait, guys, understand. You know what? I want to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you. What I'm looking for is for your expectation. I'm looking for you to stop having doubt, but start believing and trusting in me. Oh, amen.
Right.
Number two, you must become unwavering in your expectation. Everybody say unwavering in your expectation. Okay. Now, let me tell you why this is kind of difficult to go there. Because, you know what, a sermon like this, I'm not saying it's God's fault. Okay, I'm smiling. Everybody look at me. I'm smiling, right? Okay. Here's what I'm saying. It's our fault. Now, before you get upset, can I show it to you in the Word?
Yes.
Can I show it to you in the Word? Yes. Look at James, James chapter 1. And listen, and understand this. I'm not teaching this because I don't like you. I'm teaching this because I do like you. I'm teaching this because I'm tired of people blaming God, and it's not His fault. I'm gonna show it to you in a minute. God is on your side. God is for you, but you've got to be for God. Amen. You got to look at your life and have a willingness to go, man, my expectation, I've just been expecting, you know what, just crumbs. And that's when I'm getting crumbs. And Satan has got me in this kind of in this pit. And these guys, I mean, you talk about hopelessness. You talk about expectation for hopelessness. These guys could have had it, but they didn't. And because they didn't stay in hopelessness. The guy's daughter lived. The blind man saw. The woman's issue of blood was taken care of. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. What's your problem? Just ask God. You have not because you ask not. The power of expectation to start. You know what? Be anxious for nothing but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. Just ask. And how does God respond to your asking? Well, look what it says. Let him ask of God who gives. How does God give? Liberally. God's not trying to keep stuff from you. God's trying to get stuff to you. And he wants you to ask. And he gives it liberally without reproach. And it will be given to him. It will be given to him. Bible says, you know what, I forget the analogy, but it's something like if you ask for, you know what, a bread, you know what, if your son asks for bread, do you give him a scorpion? You know, oh, Dad, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Oh, cool. Here, have a snake instead. You know, do you do that? You don't do that. And here's what the Bible says. You know what, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, everybody say more, does God know how to give gifts? You know what, listen, God is trying for you to just be like those people who just have this outlandish expectation beyond what is possible in the natural. And understand this, with God, because we're not limited to the natural stuff. Because God works in the supernatural. It's superior to the natural. Don't, you know what, get off of the carnally minded. You know what, oh my goodness. The whole Bible is filled with this supernatural stuff, this just radical stuff. Boom, you'll read a story, and 1 minute this guy's here, and supernatural, all of a sudden he's like, bang, at another place. Oh, how does that happen? Supernaturally. Water gets turned to wine. Blind people see. Dead people, you know what, get raised from the dead. Deaf people hear. All over the place. People that are in jail supernaturally just get busted out and freed. It's so supernatural that the apostles, you read it just recently, the apostles, they think, oh, man, this is a nice dream. You know, oh, this is a dream. I'm out of jail now. And then all of a sudden they recognize, oh, this is not a dream. I am out of jail. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Let your expectation, listen, my point. You must become unwavering in your expectation. Let him ask of faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What's the wind represent? Outside circumstances, the natural. You're like, yes, 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 I believe. Yes, I believe. And then Satan goes, boo. And you're like, ooh, I guess it's not going to happen. The Bible says, watch this, let For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let me tell you what God wants. God loved when those blind men said, yes, you can do it. God loved when that man, you know, with his daughter, and Jesus knew she was dead. Jesus knew she was dead. But guess what? Guess what? He loved when he said, but Jesus, let me tell you what, all you have to do is come on over to my house. All you have to do is lay your hands on her. That's all that has to happen. Jesus loves that. Loves it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I've gone to this verse of the last 3 weeks. It is just, I just can't get loose of what God is showing me in these scriptures, these verses. So I want you to catch this. Look at this. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Are you guys catching these words?
Yeah.
Lack nothing. A land in which stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, when you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Least when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold all multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness. Stay, guys, in the back, stay on this verse. In which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water for you out of the flinty rock. One more verse, go to 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. So, Pastor, why are you taking us to this scripture when you're talking about not wavering in your expectation? Here's why. Because here's what happens in life. God takes them to a place, and it's a dry land. It's the desert. Everybody say it's the desert. And in the desert, he expects them not to waver. Everybody say, God expects me not to waver in the desert. Now, watch this. God's not wavering. God is faithful to provide for them. Do they have water? Do they have food? Okay. And you're like, ooh. But here's what we do. We get in situations, and we're not in the promised land yet, but God is still providing for us, and we still waver. It's a test. And God says, and that's why I brought this portion of scripture when I'm talking about not wavering. Here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to recognize, oh my goodness, here's what they should have done. They should have just sat there and said, praise God. Isn't it cool that, imagine you're driving through the Mojave Desert and you stop at a stop sign and somebody has ice-chilled Pepsi right there and says, here, have an ice cold Pepsi. Here you go. Okay, who in the world isn't going to roll down their window and go, wow, bless the Lord. This is cool. And that's what they should have done. But instead, you know what? They were grumbling and complaining. Here's what God wants them to do. Watch this. That he might test you to do you good in the end. They're in the desert, but what God wants them to do is say, hey, God's got my back. Can I tell you what? We become so cynical that even with the cold, chilled Pepsi in our hand, we still complain. We still start to doubt God that he's going to get us the promised land. And what I'm saying to you is, whoa, the power of expectation. We need to get rid of that doubt and unbelief. We need to observe God's provision for us. Listen, when we were not in this south sanctuary, God provided for us a north sanctuary. And we could have said, yeah, but it's too crowded and it's not like this and sin is not good enough and all this stuff. Can I tell you what? God provided for us. We went, led by the Holy Spirit, we went to a conference. Tamara and I went to a conference. And this conference, you know what, cost $50 to go to this conference. No. The conference was free. The hors d'oeuvre time was $50. And Tamara said, I believe that we need to be at that observe. We need to go pay the $50 and go to that hors d'oeuvre time. I'm like, let me tell you what. And then we got to that, no, true story. Then we got to the hors d'oeuvre time. You know what they had for hors d'oeuvres? You know what? No. Cookies and punch would have been a level up. All they had was peanuts and bottled water. I'm a true story. I'm like, what? I'm like looking at Tamara. Tamara, what in the world were you thinking? $50 for this. You know how many peanuts I could buy with $50? True story. And who was at this? And here was the odd thing. We're there. Nobody else is there. And then Rosie Greer comes in. True story. Rosie Greer comes there. And so that was cool, you know, talking to Rosie Greer. Wasn't worth $50, but anyway. Then this other lady comes. You know what? This other gracious older lady comes, and she starts talking to Tamara and I, and we start talking to her. About, she just, whoa, you know what? Do you guys pastor? Yeah, we pastor here at Hope Community. I was bivocational. We should start talking about the vision. You know what? Whatever it was. You know, a week later, we had a check for $5,000. You know what? The sound system we had was the most cheesiest thing you'll ever even believe. You know what? But we went up to Guitar Center. And we spent $5,000. And that sound system, pieces of that sound system are still over that we're still using. We use that for, here's my point. God blessed us with this provision before we were in the promised land. Because, why? Because we weren't complacent. We didn't say, oh man, I wish, you know, churches, all this complaint. No. Notice how God is providing for you. And maybe you are in a desert, but notice, you know what? Before you start complaining about the desert that you're in, notice that God has provided, you know what, a chilled, you know what, Pepsi that you're drinking. You know what I mean? Don't take a drink of that Pepsi in the straw even, and then complain about how God hasn't provided for you. Because God is testing you. And seeing, you know what? Are you going, do you allow the circumstances to dictate that it's not going to happen? And the whole time, God is providing for you. Are you learning something today? My last point, you know what? Please. If you start to understand God is for you in the way that he is for you, then your expectation will go through the roof. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. And what shall we say then to these things? What shall we say to these circumstances going on? What shall we say to them? Here's what you were to say. This is a great scripture to use right after we're talking about the scripture in Deuteronomy. What should we say? Here's what we should say. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, that's what you, what should we say? That's what you should say. That's what you should be saying. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what you should be saying. You know, if you question the tenacity that God's for you, you simply only need to look at the most popular, the most memorized scripture in all the whole Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You question if God's for you? You know what? Go home and rent The Passion of the Christ. And at some point in time, you need to understand. I cannot, you talk about one of the greatest understatements in the world. It's for me to tell you, God's for you. Because the degree that God is for you, you have no clue. But you can get a clue by looking to Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of your faith. I love what, you guys don't have this in the back, but if you could turn to and make a note for the second service, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Listen, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But, everybody say but. But the Lord will arise over you. Are you catching this? And his glory will be seen upon what? Upon you. Watch this. And the Gentiles shall come. The Gentiles are the people without God. And the people without God shall come to what? To what? Your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I'm telling you what, God is so for you, and all you have to do is raise up your expectation. God wants you today to raise up your expectation in your marriage. He wants you to raise up your expectation in your finances. He wants you to raise up your expectation in your health. He wants you to raise up whatever your expectation just simply in your life. You, let me tell you what, you are, listen to me. If we understood the hugeness of potential that we have just in this room to do supernatural things and to conquer and to make huge inroads to the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm preaching today, because I want you to start raising up your expectation. I want you to start to understand and believe and say, no. Listen, God is for, what should we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the proper response to the situations in your life. That's the proper response. That's how God wants you to respond. If you looked into Hebrew, you know what? You'd understand this. God is saying, when he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. God is saying, there is this supernaturally heavy, heavy, heavy favor on your life. And then he goes on to describe it. It's so favorable that even kings are going to come to you. They will be attracted. Watch this. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Can I tell you what? You and I are children of the Most High. And God is speaking to us today. And he's being frank with us and being honest with you. And he's saying to us today, you know what? Let's get our expectations higher than they are now. Let's step out of the world of what the world would say is reality, and let's step into the world of supernatural, where with God all things are possible. Think about it. In a simple span of a short period of time that we read in Matthew chapter 9, a simple short period of time of a day, Jesus, you know what? Jesus raises someone from the dead, heals two blind people, and heals this lady of her issue of blood. And the whole time Jesus is saying, let me tell you why I did all this. Because of your expectation. See, it's not like, listen, God isn't saying like, ooh, you're bad because you don't expect. No, that's not the message today. The message is, look what could be. Look at the power of expectation. Start to imagine if things could be just different in your life. And understand, God is baiting you. And what God is saying to you is, believe in me. Trust in me. Take the limits that you've placed in your life because of circumstances and understand the favor that I have in your life. Understand, you know what? I will turn the world upside down. My dad used to tell me this. He used to say, you know what? He used to say this to me. He'd say, you know what? You know, Drew, I'd do that. You know what? For all the tea in China, he used to always say that. For all the tea in China, you know what? I'm going to do this for you. Can I tell you what? There's nothing. If God, the Bible says this, if God hasn't withheld even his son, what will he withhold? You know what? What will he withhold? He won't withhold anything from you, the Bible says. Now, let me close with at least one story, maybe a couple of stories. You want to hear some stories? We were here in this church, and the carpet was messed up. I know you've heard the carpet story a lot, but I'm going to tell it to you from my version. We were only here for a little while, and the carpet wall was all messed up, and we needed new carpet. We needed a lot of carpet because every single room in the church needed new carpet. And Tamara started doing this renovation, and we didn't really know what we're doing, but we're going to do something because we believe faith without works is dead. We're doing what we could do. And so we were making some changes and trying to make this place nice, expecting for people to show up, and we did. We had a high expectation. So we started working on the kids' rooms, and we're doing what we can with the limited amount of funds that we had, but we had our faith out there. We were expecting. We've always had high expectation of what God is going to do in this church. God has called us, to minister to people, and so we had that high expectation. So Tamara started ripping up the old carpet and throwing it away. Well, here's the thing. She's throwing it away, she's throwing away, and we got $38,000 in the bank to buy new carpet. No, we didn't have nothing. There was no carpet budget, none. Okay, well, why did she get rid of it? Because it was awful. Amen. Because here's why. Because she had high expectation where it's coming. And as these people, and we didn't have a lot of people, but we had some older people, and they used to come up to you there, and you know what? And you can start to feel the pressure. They're like, hey, when's the carpet coming? Any word on the carpet? You know what I mean? And they're trying to be, but you could feel the pressure. And she'd just smile at him and say, well, here's the thing. If we even had it right now, we wouldn't have any place to put it because we're still working on this stuff. And they'd go, oh, okay. But where's it coming from? Oh, no. But it's coming. Amen. You know what? And so, you know what? Did the carpet come? The carpet came. And in order to get the carpet, you know what? It was a district. A district is a bunch of the stores, Home Depot stores, consider of a district. But in order to get enough carpet, we had two districts had to come together, and their supervisors had to decide that they were going to spend the money on this church and buy us carpet. Can you hear how supernatural that is? How supernatural it is. But Tamara and I sat, right there where that door is. Oh yeah, there's not that door there anymore. Amen? Because we took it out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Amen. Which is a whole nother story of expectation. But right there where that door used to be, Tamara and I sat there, and literally with tears just running down our cheeks. And let me tell you why tears were running down our cheeks, because we recognized the power of expectation. And they had these five rolls of the most beautiful green carpet you ever saw in your life. Why were they so beautiful? Because they came from God, amen. When Joel Osteen is in the compact center, the place where the Rockets used to play. I mean, I don't know how many to hold, easy over 10,000 people. And there were people who said, he can't get it, it's never going to happen, you're never going to, all this stuff. Well, sure enough, they got the compact center, amen. Can you say amen to this? Oh, I'm saying amen to this because that's a blessing. But listen, it just worked out that when they got the compact center, because of circumstances, they leased the compact center for 60 years. They were leasing it from the city. The city came to them and said, hey, would you be interested in buying the compact center from us? They said, yes, we've always believed that and we've been interested in that. Yes. But obviously we need to know how much and how much, you're willing to give it to us for. The compact center is probably estimations of worth about, somewhere easily over $100 million and probably a couple $100 million it's worth, the value of it. City comes and says, you know what, would you be interested in buying it? They say yes. They say yes. The city comes back to them and says, okay, we've got a number. I say, okay, what's the number? Not $100 million, not $50 million, not $25 million. They say, you know what, we'll sell it to you for $7.5 million. How many know Joel was smiling that day? You know, I'm telling you what, for $7.5 million, you would be amazed of what a little church you can build for $7.5 million. You know what? They are in the compact center. They bought it from the city for $7.5 million. Can I tell you what? I got too many personal stories. We'd be here all afternoon of expectation that Tamara and I believed. You know what you are? You're an expectation that we had. That you would come and be back and come back and come back and make this church your home. I can go on and on and on and on. I'd have Clavinova. We had it over in the North Sanctuary. I think it's still over there in the North Sanctuary. That's my Clavinova. And I took it from home and I brought it to the church. Why'd you do that? You know what? I don't know why. Because we had no piano player. Never forget. I had a Clavinova and then we got those congas and I put them up on the stage. And we didn't have a conga player. We didn't have a piano player. What are you putting that up on the stage for? You know what? The power of expectation. Power of expectation. And you know what? And I'll never forget this. Uncle Dickie, he's passed away, but Uncle Dickie one time came to our church, don't even know this guy, or getting to know this guy, and he says, hey, what are those instruments up there for? Nobody plays them. I said, hey, well, do you play an instrument? He said, yeah, I'll play the keyboards. Oh, let me tell you what. Uncle Dickie was a funky keyboard player. I mean... I say that as a compliment. I mean, I used to love how he just had a flair. Wonderful, wonderful piano player. Wonderful keyboard player. Played those for years. And guess what? And then we got a conga player, and then we got a guitar player, and then we got a bass player, and then we got a drummer, and I don't know exactly the order, and thank God now we got more than one bass player. Amen. And we got more than one drummer, amen? And we got more than one keyboard player, amen? Come on, you can say amen at any time. And we got one, and we got more than one guitar player, amen. And we got more than one backup singer, amen. See, all I'm saying to you is, guys, listen. I don't know where, and I'll close with this. I don't know where Satan has convinced you of accepting less than God wants for your life. But what I'm trying to get over to you and trying to preach faith into you, that you'd look at these examples of these people who could say it's hopeless. And look at Tamron and my example. And start believing, not for what you see in the physical, but start believing for what you see in the spiritual. Start believing for what God has placed in your heart and said, this is going to happen. And then don't let up. Don't allow any desert to convince you that God's not going to do it. Because let me tell you what, you can't even imagine how much God is for your side. Did you learn something today? If with eyes closed and with heads bowed, if you feel like, Pastor, God has spoken to me in this message. I know you're speaking, but God is speaking to me, and I want to raise up my hand and I want to believe for where I've backed off from. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand all over the room, and I'm going to pray with you in a minute. All over the room. Keep your hands up. Father, you see the hands that are up, and Father, I don't know the details, but you do. But Father, I thank you that we would be reminded today of that man with that young daughter who was healed, that we would remind ourselves of that woman with the issue of blood, that we would remind ourselves that their blindness, deafness, leprosy, you know what, a lack, two fish and loaves, you know what, five loaves. No, with God, God will multiply. And Father, for expectation, God, we believe, we apologize for the times that we have backed off, for the times that we have wavered, God. We apologize. We repent. And Father, we thank you. With you, all things are possible. We put our trust in you. And Father, we put our confidence in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.